Through our worldwide resources, EWTN presents a global perspective of our Catholic faith. Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. I'm Brian Patrick, and this week we visit Marian shrines throughout Europe, places visited by pilgrims where Our Lady appeared throughout the centuries. Our contributors this week are all rectors of Marian shrines. Monsignor Philip Mosier is rector of Our Lady of Walsingham in the UK. We also have with us Monsignor Xavier de Rhodes, vice-rector of the Sanctuary of Lourdes in France, and Father Richard Gibbons, rector of Our Lady of Knox Shrine in Mayo County, Ireland. We begin asking each of you to offer a brief history of your shrine. Monsignor Mosier, if you would start, tell us where Walsingham is and when Our Lady appeared there, and just what that apparition consisted of.
So Walsingham is in the district of England called East Anglia, which is in the south of the country, but northeast of London. And in 1061 or thereabouts, Our Lady asked a lady called Richeldis to build a replica of the Holy House of Nazareth. That is the home of Our Lady at the time of the Annunciation. So that was duly built. And in time, the Augustinian canons built a priory next to the shrine to administer it. Many people came on pilgrimage, thousands and thousands down the centuries, including kings and queens of England, all until King Henry VIII. And of course, the dissolution of the monasteries and the Protestant Reformation. So the whole shrine lay fallow for a few centuries, and indeed only the eastern arch of the Priory Church remained until the end of the 19th century, when an Anglican lady called Charlotte Boyd bought a small chapel known as the Slipper Chapel, which you can see behind me, which is about a mile from the village, and then became a Catholic herself. And eventually that became the new Catholic shrine. And at the same time, in the beginning of the 20th century, the Anglicans set up a shrine too. So we have two shrines, but we work very well together.
Well, it's so good to know that that shrine at Walsingham is now EWTN Great Britain. And Monsignor Mosier, it's good to have you with us. Father Richard Gibbons, share the story of Our Lady of Knock and the obstacles to that site actually becoming a shrine.
Well, the apparition at Knock took place on the 21st of August, 1879, at 8 o'clock in the evening. Knock itself is located in the west of Ireland. It was a very small place. At the time, there were great difficulties in society, such as a land war in terms of land ownership, and also many famines. But on this particular evening, on the 21st of August, a light was seen at the gable wall of the parish church. So obviously, like you and I would be, the people were curious as to what was going on and came to see exactly what was happening. When they approached the gable wall on the outside of the church, they saw before them Our Lady, Saint Joseph, Saint John the Evangelist, an altar, a lamb, and a cross, around which hovered, in their words, winged entities, angels, they described them. So the apparition lasted for approximately 2 hours, was seen by everyone in the village, anyone that happened to come along. It was seen by anyone that happened to be there. And then after no message was spoken or given, the message lay in what they beheld before them, because it was quite an intricate and complex apparition indeed, as you can imagine. So over the years then, the shrine developed. Commissions of inquiry were set up immediately after the apparition itself to see what happened. 15 witnesses came forward, ranging in age from 5 to 74 years of age. Their testimonies were found to be trustworthy and satisfactory. And then the years rolled on. In 1936, a second commission of inquiry was set up to investigate the three living witnesses of the apparition, the three remaining living witnesses, and their testimonies corroborated what they had seen before, what they testified to before. And then the shrine developed over the years.
Well, that was a beautiful reenactment that we got to see there. That reenactment gave us an idea of what those people actually witnessed. Monsignor de Rhodes, Mary appeared several times to Saint Bernadette at Lourdes, But tell us about the inception of that shrine there. When did that actually happen? Was it over time?
Well, actually, it all started, therefore, in 1858 on February the 11th, early in the morning. Saint Bernadette was going to the country just to get some wood for the fire when suddenly, as she was crossing the river, she saw a lady in the grotto. And so she got scared, was not able to move, and until that lady started doing the sign of the cross. And so from that on, we had in Lourdes 18 different apparitions. Obviously, people were coming, crowds started coming immediately right after that. The bishop was a bit afraid, and therefore started a commission of inquiry just to check whether it was truly what was truly happening there. And so basically the shrine started right after in 1862, when officially the Bishop of Tarbes and Lourdes recognized officially the apparitions, and because the lady initially did not say who she was. It's only after a few apparitions that she revealed her name, saying, "I am the Immaculate Conception," which was a confirmation of a dogma that the Pope proclaimed a few years before.
Yeah, certainly when Bernadette said that to the bishop, that the lady said, "I am the Immaculate Conception," that was confirmation to that bishop, because there was no way that this peasant girl would have known that was really a title
exactly.
of Mary. Father Richard, I wonder if Marian shrines in Europe compete or cooperate in attracting pilgrims.
A little bit of both, if we're honest. I think we have an organization for European Marian shrines that we meet every year. And we get on very, very well. It's a forum in which we discuss ideas and find out what's happening in each other's respective shrines. It's a great idea, and it is very, very useful. You're promoting the national shrine of whatever country you're in, and that's what your job is to promote the message of that particular shrine. But I think maybe a healthy competition rather than anything else.
Monsignor Mosier, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the timeless nature of these shrines. Obviously, they're connected with a calendar event, but they're timeless.
Yes, they are. Because the message is always related to the gospel and is therefore for all time. In Walsingham, for example, the message is the sharing the joy of Our Lady's Annunciation. That is perennial, that will never cease to be important.
Certainly. Coming up, we'll discuss the charisms of each shrine. We'll also talk about some daughter shrines, especially of Lourdes. And the Catholic Sphere continues on EWTN. We hope you can stay with us at the Global Catholic Network. Certainly grateful you're joining us for this week's Catholic Sphere. It's EWTN's weekly perspective, a global perspective of our Catholic faith. I'm Brian Patrick. We have Monsignor Xavier de Rhodes in France at Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine, Monsignor Philip Mosier from Our Lady of Walsingham in England, and Father Richard Gibbons at Our Lady of Knock in Ireland. Monsignor de Rhodes, would you tell us about the daughter shrines of this wonderful, huge shrine at Lourdes and how they've been able to take pieces of that in a way and create daughter shrines around the world?
Indeed, it's quite unusual because normally, you have in the world very few shrines who've been able to have daughter's shrine. It's It's very specific to Lloyd's. It's just the fact that people have been coming since the beginning from all around the world, and they wanted to bring that grace, the grace they have received in Lord's, to other people, and they wanted to share it, especially this grace of healing. And so we see that around the world, many people also have built their four shrines, grottos, replicas of the grotto. It's also because of history. At the time, at the beginning of the 20th century, one half of the missionaries in the world were French. And so it was a time, a strong time of revival of the French church right after the French Revolution. And so they brought in their suitcase a copy of the statue of Our Lady of Lourdes. And so as a result, we have this international network all around the world. So it's not only replicas of the grotto, but also we have hospitalities, so people serving sick people and bringing them to Lourdes everywhere in the world. And many bishops' conferences also have a special office regarding the Lourdes pilgrimage. So that's something I would say quite unique about Lourdes.
You mentioned healing. Obviously, that is the charism of Lourdes. We're going to talk about that with you in a moment. I want to go to Walsingham first, though. What is the charism, Monsignor Mosier, of Our Lady of Walsingham?
Well, as I said, the idea of sharing the joy of Our Lady's Annunciation. But this expresses itself in various ways. So in the idea of a holy house, the replica of Our Lady's home, you have the theme of stability and security. But on the other hand, the theme of openness, Our Lady's Annunciation, speaks to us of her gracious acceptance of God's will. She wasn't coerced into doing what God asked. She accepted it freely. And that reminds us that we are, each of us, called to be open to the Holy Spirit and to be open to the unexpected in our lives.
That is a powerful message, and thank you for sharing that so beautifully. So, Monsignor de Rhodes, people seek healing at Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine, not just physical healing, but certainly there's a spiritual aspect to all of this, is there not?
Indeed. And that started from the very beginning, of the apparition, even during the time of the 18 apparitions that occurred. People got healed, and people get healed also by drinking the water or going to the bath. And so, as a result, as we received years after years more and more claims of people being healed, we're starting having also medical bureau, which is in charge of investigating all the cases. We got over time, we have more than 70,000 claims of healing. But only, and that shows you how prudent the church is, only 70 miracles have been officially recognized by the church so far.
Father Richard, would you tell us about the charism of Our Lady of Knock?
Sure. The charism of Knock would be summed up in terms of reconciliation, or the sacrament of reconciliation, or confession. I call our confessional here at Knock our engine room. That's the powerhouse of the shrine itself. It does what it says. It brings people into a healing relationship, not only with God, but also with those that they may have, their relationship may have broken down with, in terms of family life, personal lives, and so on and so forth. So really, the confessional is at the heart and center.
And certainly the sacrament of confession is such a healing in itself. So there's that connection even with Lourdes. Monsignor de Rhodes, during the pandemic, the shrine there at Lourdes partnered with EWTN, broadcasting the Rosary daily in several different languages. I wonder how that was received by viewers, and what was it like for those who were actually leading the Rosary?
Well, it was quite an experience, because normally we have thousands and thousands of people in the shrine, and certainly, as many other places, the shrine was completely void. And so we decided that we would have this continuous prayer. So chaplains interceding at the grotto in continuity, and according to the different languages they would speak, they were praying in Chinese, Vietnamese, English, etc. And so we had this partnership with the EWTN and other TV networks, which was extremely important as a way to support and to comfort also the people across across the world. So people got connected to Lourdes, and the shrine became even more digital, and people told us you were there when indeed we were facing trouble, when we were locked down, and so that became something really essential in the daily routine and the daily prayer. And so we're blessed to be able to broadcast all our prayers.
It was certainly one of the benefits that came out of the COVID pandemic. And Monsignor Mosier, during the month of May, the Holy Father had a rosary marathon to pray for the end of the pandemic. Weren't you the first to do that on the 1st of May? And what was that like to be the first?
Yes, Brian, indeed, we were the first. It was a great honor and privilege, but it was a bit scary, too, because we couldn't sit down in front of the television and watch a few other shrines and then say, oh, we'll do this or we'll do that. We were the first, so we rose to the challenge. I think it's for others to say whether we managed well, but we did what we could. And as I say, it was a great honor to be asked in the first place.
Well, I think a lot of the other shrines were watching you and followed your example. And certainly this was not a show. It was a prayer, and it was beautifully done. And we thank all of you and all of the shrines that participated in that month-long rosary marathon during Mary's month of May for the end of the pandemic. Coming up, a unique fact about each shrine, plus our spiritual challenges for this week as the Catholic Sphere continues here on EWTN. Thank you for joining us for the Catholic Sphere on EWTN. I'm Brian Patrick. Father Richard Gibbons joins us this week from Our Lady of Knock in the west part of Ireland. We have Monsignor Philip Mosier in Walsingham, England, and Monsignor Xavier de Rhodes in Lourdes, France. So, Father Richard, I wonder if you could explain the special status that Pope Francis has granted Our Lady of Knock Shrine.
Sure. On the 19th of March last, the Feast of St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, and St. Joseph was part of the apparition, as you can see, of Knock, Pope Francis elevated the shrine to an international standing. It is the national Marian shrine here in Ireland, but he elevated it to international Eucharistic and Marian shrine. At the heart and center of the apparition itself is the Eucharist, is the motif of the Eucharist, the altar, the Lamb of Sacrifice, and the cross. And that's really at the heart and core. So it was, we were absolutely honored and delighted. A lot of work had been put into receiving the elevation, and a lot of work by our own Archbishop here, the Archbishop of Tuam, in whose diocese Knock lies, Archbishop Michael Leary, put a wonderful, huge amount of work into that. And it just all came together. And I want to thank Archbishop Rino Fisichella of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of the New Evangelization for his work as well. It was just a great moment in the midst of a pandemic and a lockdown here in the country, which many people found extremely difficult, our second major lockdown, which lasted 5 months. But in the middle of that, we had this good news, and Pope Francis sent a little message to us that we incorporated into a mass we celebrated together in the Apparition Chapel, which you see here behind me. A wonderful occasion. We were delighted, yeah.
Yeah, it's something that we really needed during that lockdown. So, Monsignor Mosier, let's talk about the apparitions each one of you has experienced in your particular shrine, and there are just some people who simply don't believe in these apparitions. I wonder how that might actually add some credibility to these miraculous events.
Yes, I'm sure that's right. often enough, something negative can produce something quite beautiful. So along with St. Paul speaking about God working in all things for the good of those who love him. And the greatest skeptic of all was probably St. Thomas in the Gospel of John, where we read that Thomas is not there on the Easter night when the risen Lord appears, because he doesn't doubt the risen Lord. He doubts the church. He doubts the apostles. But that skepticism is transformed into the great affirmation, my Lord and my God. And I think that's the way God allows things to work, and it brings more people along in its train.
I find it interesting, too, in that Bible story that Jesus is so kind to Thomas. He said, go ahead, put your fingers in my wounds and your hand in my side. And yes, that proclamation, my Lord and my God, was very powerful on behalf of doubting Thomas, which some say should be called faithful Thomas as a result. Monsignor de Rhodes, thousands of people send petitions to Lourdes, rosary petitions, petitions for healing. They are all placed in this little box. How do they all fit in there?
Indeed, I get many questions about that. We get daily about 30,000 petitions. And so people are writing them, sending them by emails, leaving them on our website. What we decided was to on the WhatsApp group of the chaplains to share these petitions, so that each one of us, when we're going to the grotto, can scroll the whole petitions and have an idea of what the people are asking for and praying for these intentions. The challenge is, of course, that we get every day, so about 30,000 petitions. The challenge was to know whether we should print them or just put them on a USB key. And my point was, if God is able to read a piece of paper and read different languages, because we have petitions coming in Chinese, English, French, Tamil, etc., is probably also able to read a USB drive. And therefore, inside the small box, you have a USB key or USB drive, and therefore, it's a way to present these petitions. But we ask always the chaplain to read first on his cell phone some of these petitions in order to really pray for the petitions we receive.
So it's a little flash drive that goes in the box with all of these thousands of petitions. That's beautiful. I'm sure our Lord can decipher our digital technology. After all, he allowed us to create it. So each week on the Catholic Sphere, we offer a personal challenge or a meditation. Mine is to pray one rosary this week in thanksgiving for Mary's powerful intercession. And as we say the rosary, we say, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Think of how powerful that is. Monsignor Mosier, what's your challenge?
So my challenge is to look prayerfully at the gospel passage of the Annunciation, to stand alongside our Blessed Lady and with her to say, to God, be it done to me according to your will.
That's beautiful. And someday I want to go to Our Lady of Walsingham and see that recreation of Mary's house. This is the house where Mary grew up in Nazareth with Saints Anne and Joachim. Monsignor de Rhodes, let's talk about Lourdes and your challenge for this week for our viewers.
Lourdes is a place for healing of the soul, healing of the body. And therefore, my challenge is that we all look into ourselves. We've been through a difficult time also during this time of pandemic. We've been wounded also somehow in different steps, different stages of our life. And therefore, it is to be like Saint Bernadette, to have the humility and the simplicity to bring that to a lady, just asking for God's healing through the intercession of Our Lady. It might look difficult, too challenging, too late. Sometimes also we have the feeling that it might be difficult, but that's a real challenge, to ask for healing right now.
All right, Monsignor. And Father Richard, what's your challenge or meditation? And then we'll ask you to close us with a short prayer.
Sure. My challenge would be reconciliation, to ask for forgiveness or to offer it. It's very difficult. It's extremely hard. We all know it because we all know where we fall and we fail. But it's simply that. Maybe to offer that word of forgiveness and to be even gracious enough to accept forgiveness.
All right. Father, would you close us with a short prayer, please?
Sure. We pray now. We give thanks to God for the broadcast today and for all the team there at EWTN. We give thanks to God for the capability of promoting our shrines and indeed as a result of promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen. All right, Father Richard Gibbons at Our Lady of Knock. A friend of mine visited there and brought back a little vial of holy water from there. I'm going to revisit that today. Monsignor Mosier in Walsingham, we thank you for joining us from EWTN Great Britain. And Monsignor DeRhodes in Lourdes, thanks you, all three of you, for sharing the beautiful stories of these Marian shrines throughout Europe. We thank each of you for joining us on behalf of our Catholic Sphere team here at EWTN. I'm Brian Patrick, and we'll see you next week here on the Catholic Sphere on EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.